The Department of Energy just gave one of several approvals to the Jordan Cove gas export proposal in Coos Bay. Several more are required before any gas would be compressed or shipped. But certain groups are not happy with that decision, including Rogue Riverkeeper. Joining us this morning to talk to us, Forrest English, you're the program director with Rogue Riverkeeper. Is that correct?
Yeah. Morning. Thanks for having us.
Good morning and welcome to you. Also, Bob Barker, you are a property owner and you would be affected by this decision, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. I own property along the Rogue River, which would be the drill site for a 3,000-foot drill underneath the Rogue River.
Okay. Let's find out. First of all, let's get your reaction to the DOE's decision on this. Forrest?
Well, I think, you know, first of all, this is a conditional approval pending both FERC's, the Federal Environmental, or excuse me, Federal Energy Regulatory Commission's decision, and then DOE's further evaluation of this. So this is not yet a done deal. There's a lot more hoops they have to go through, whether it's through FERC or the state agencies like the Department of Environmental Quality and, you know, a slew of federal agencies as well. So there's a lot more to go.
And I understand, correct me if I'm wrong on this, even though there's federal laws and approvals in place, those are actually subject to local, as you say, state approvals as well, aren't they?
Yeah, there's a couple of instances where, in particular, the state needs to make a decision, whether that's the siting of a power plant on the north spit of the Coos Bay, or whether that's what's called the water quality certification. And that's saying, you know, that's the state saying this will not have an effect on the waters of our state.
If you have a question this morning, give us a call or anywhere in the listening area, 800-838-3760, in the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, or you can always send us an email to jx@jeffnet.org. Bob, tell me a little bit more about how you and other landowners would be impacted by this.
Well, there's a huge impact on landowners. There are 304 private landowners along this 232 pipeline route. And if FERC approves this certificate, that enables the pipeline company to use eminent domain to acquire the rights to build the pipeline on the property. And the companies like to say, well, they don't like to use it. But the fact of the matter is that it's the power of eminent domain and that puts landowners in a very difficult position from the standpoint of negotiating. So we're in a very tough position here from the standpoint of our ability to get a fair deal and fair compensation.
With the eminent domain, you rarely get top dollar, right?
They're in the business of building a pipeline for the least amount of dollars possible. So that includes the offers.
What are some of the environmental impacts for us that we might see from this?
Well, I think, you know, the first thing to understand is that this is a huge project. We're talking 230 miles of pipeline that would be crossing the Klamath, the Rogue, the Coos, the Umpqua, the Coquille. So a number of watersheds. We're talking up to 400 streams and rivers would be crossed or dredged as part of this. This would cross, you know, 230-plus miles of public and private land, including crossing the Pacific Crest Trail. We're talking about impacts to forests. We're talking about impacts to rivers. We're talking about impacts to wildlife. Obviously, we're talking about impacts to property owners. And we're talking about increasing demand for fracking to export gas to a brand new power plant and export terminal in Coos Bay. Just the power plant would produce half as much global warming gases as the Boardman coal plant. So this is a pretty significant driver for climate change.
Have there been any seismology studies in regards to fracking in this region?
Well, obviously we're not doing fracking in this region, but the gas would come from the fracking fields in the Interior West and the Canadian Rockies.
And this is a Canadian corporation that owns this, is that correct?
Yeah, Verizon is a Canadian company.
That's correct. I mean, we have all the disadvantages in terms of to our land and safety and the environment, and this is not even American gas. A large percentage of this gas is from Canada, and on this whole eminent domain issue again, you know, if you're importing gas and the country needs gas, that's one thing. It's in the public interest because of that. When we're exporting, it's really about profit. The price of gas overseas is about four times what it is in the U.S. So here we have a private company being allowed the use of eminent domain, which is really for their profit. What you really should have in this situation is negotiation between the company and the landowner, where you come to the bargaining table on an equal footing. With eminent domain, you just do not have that.
With Jordan Cove, is 100% of this going to be exported? Will any of it come into the United States from Canada and stay here? Do we know?
As far as we know, they've gotten certifications for export.
Okay. The issue of national security, I guess if they're exporting it, I would assume, we would all hope that it's being exported to at least friendly nations to us. But is that an issue? I mean, you know, with everybody concerned about Crimea and Ukraine and that, what about the national security issue?
Well, I think, you know, we're talking about they're giving separate approvals for export to free trade agreement countries and non-free trade agreement countries. So, I mean, that's certainly an issue. But I think something to keep in mind as far as the Ukraine situation goes is that while people have begun talking about the need to export America's natural gas to change policy in Asia, you know, the reality is these pipelines and terminals would take years and years to build. This is not something that we can flip a switch and make something happen. Even if everything goes according to the applicant's plans, you know, we're talking at least 3-4 years before they're online, and that goes for every other export terminal in the country too.
Now, I was reading in some of the background material that you're concerned about the salmon runs and how they would be affected. Do you have some studies that have been done on that?
I mean, I think it's clear if you're going to dredge trenches across streams and rivers around the state, and we're going to clear riparian buffers, you know, streamside trees, which shade the water and keep it cold. Salmon are highly dependent on cold water. And I think, you know, if we're talking about increasing the temperature of our climate, that's something we already have an issue with. Salmon depend on cold water, and if we're going to be increasing the overall temperature, that's going to be a problem, not to mention the sediment inputs from the dredging and from the construction of a, you know, swath across the landscape.
We have a call from Skeeter in Eugene. Go ahead, Skeeter, you're on the line.
Good morning. I'm very frustrated that Senator Ron Wyden is in favor of this project. He says that it will bring jobs to the area, and I wonder how many jobs would actually be given to Coos Bay people. There have been some very, very bad explosions at various liquefied natural gas facilities around the world over the years. I'm curious, if that plant was built at Jordan Cove, and if it blew up, about how much of Coos Bay would be destroyed? Anyway, I think, we're really worried about national security. I think that's selfish. I think we ought to be talking about planetary security. I mean, this is the Earth. It's only got a finite amount of ability to, you know, absorb all this pollution. I think if we're really thinking about security, we ought to really talk about appropriate technologies. There would be a whole lot more jobs with that. Anyway, I appreciate this. Thank you.
Thanks for your call, Skeeter. I have the exact comment here from Senator Wyden regarding the DOE approval recently. He said it was exactly what Coos Bay, North Bend, and America need, new jobs and new investment, while factoring in a changed geopolitical landscape through a case-by-case process. So there's really, Skeeter touched on two different issues there. Let's start with Senator Wyden, your response to his comment.
I mean, first of all, I would say that we're very disappointed in Senator Wyden. I think that the senator should be giving the state a chance to decide what it wants to do before speaking up for us. I mean, there's a whole process left to go that the state has a hand in. I think that's important, and I think it's a little early for him to throw a lot of people, a lot of Oregonians, under the bus. And as far as Skeeter's point about the explosions, there's at least one elementary school within the blast zone. You know, we're talking a miles wide blast zone, and we're talking about siting a lot of highly explosive material on a sand spit in a tsunami zone.
All right.
Yeah, you have to understand that this pipeline, if built, will be transporting about 1 billion cubic feet of gas per day at 1,440 pounds per square inch. If you have leaks, that gas is not odorized. If you have an explosion, you're talking about a blast zone at least 1,000 feet out on each side of the pipe. Makes people very uncomfortable that are living close to the pipe, not only affected landowners, but people in communities nearby. So this is an important issue. I don't think our fire departments are in a position to handle anything that might happen.
That size. A question from Brad in Ashland. Go ahead, Brad.
Yeah, in addition to what you guys are saying, it seems like the pipeline could become a target for deliberate explosions, too. My question is, what are the state's options? I appreciate the comment, Skeeter's, in the response to it about Senator Wyden rushing over Oregonians. I wonder what Oregon's options are legally and judicially on this issue. And if they're going to do it, which I wish they wouldn't, I think it's a horrible idea to enable an addiction that is killing us globally, or not killing, but making it all difficult. What's the options to tax it and tax it heavily so that it dissuades the use of natural gas, which, by the way, is a greenhouse gas forcer that is 20 times more powerful than carbon dioxide. So when it leaks out, it's creating a lot of havoc, and about a third of it leaks out on in the process. So thank you. And what are the chances of getting it taxed? Thanks.
Thanks for your question, Brad. Now, Forrest, do you have a response to that? Are there judicial processes? I mean, I assume that Rogue River Keeper and others are probably going to pursue that.
Yeah, I think that's safe to say.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's a lot of options under the National Environmental Policy Act and the Endangered Species Act and the Clean Water Act. But, you know, as far as the state's ability to do that, last time the state intervened against, this was previously proposed as an import pipeline. And the state intervened against it. So the state actually has the authority to deny the entire project. And it comes down to the Department of Environmental Quality and, whether Governor Kitzhaber wants to support them in doing that.
We're coming off a recession. Everybody knows that. And one of the things that the proponents of the pipeline say is that it will create thousands of temporary construction jobs, and I've seen some different numbers, but perhaps more than 100 permanent jobs there. How do you address, obviously people are interested, and that's an area of the state where there has been some unemployment issues over the years. How would you respond to that?
I think there's a couple of things there, and I think that one is there's no guarantee that this gas boom is going to go on forever. At some point, other parts of the world are going to ramp up their fracking, and it's no longer going to be quite as profitable to export gas. So we may end up in another situation that Coos Bay has seen many of, where we go through a lot of infrastructure, we build a lot of things, we make a lot of promises, and in the end, it all dries up. And the other thing is, the company's not been clear on exactly how many jobs. Like you said, we've seen a lot of numbers, and they're all over the place. And they've also not been clear on where those jobs would come from. I don't think there's any guarantee that people in Coos Bay would get the jobs that they're interested in there.
Let me ask Bob a question here. What are the landowners, how are you going to approach this? Are you looking at litigation also? What are you thinking about?
Well, it's very important that, we need the Governor Kitzhaber to step up on this issue. First of all, Governor Kulongoski took a strong position with regard to this. We believe that it's in the state's best interest overall to not have these pipelines built. And the governor has been silent so far, and we think it's really important that he take a position saying that he really wants to protect our land and he wants to protect private property rights. It's more than just getting a contract with a union for union wages, which obviously is a good thing if built, but nonetheless, there are much broader issues here. I would also say that, when you sell gas on the world market at four times the price domestically, you're going to have an impact on a lot of industries that are and ratepayers that are heavy users of natural gas. So down the line, if these projects are approved and come to fruition, you're going to see a loss of competitive advantage for big companies like Dow Chemical Company, who now have that advantage because they have cheap gas at home.
Forrest, you have an activity coming up here that you wanted to talk a little bit about.
Yeah, I think for folks in our area that are concerned about projects on this scale and concerned about our climate, we're going to be having a rally on the river on April 19th, and you can go to our website at rogueriverkeeper.org to find out more information. But we're going to be standing on the Rogue while our allies in Northern Oregon are standing on the Columbia, where they also have an export terminal proposed, saying that we value our rivers and our salmon and our other resources more than we do the dangers of projects like this.
Forrest is on the line from Mendocino. Forrest, we have just about a minute left. Forrest?
Hello?
Hello. We have just about a minute left.
Okay. My name is Ralph, and I'm telephoning. National Geographic reported that the big North Dakota oil boom was to be followed by the construction of a refinery, and I've never heard allusion to it. I guess they all want to ship the crude oil to some place so that it can be sent over for greater profit. And building a refinery in North Dakota seems perfectly sound, as I was born there, and it's what Gertrude Stein alluded to. There ain't no there there. And I'll take your response on the air. Thank you.
And my apologies on your name there, Forrest. Response?
Well, you know, I think there's no refinery proposed here, but obviously we've got a liquefaction plant that would require a lot of power and a big power plant on the spit there. So it could be similar in a lot of ways, but as to North Dakota's oil issues, I don't know that I can address that.
Your next step, what are you going to? Where are you going to go from here?
Well, obviously, like I said, we're organizing for our event on the 19th, and we really hope that folks will come and join us. I think we're going to have a good time. We're going to have a picnic afterwards and you know, make sure that we send the message that Oregonians aren't interested in this project. But, you know, we're going to be engaged in every step of the way. We've got the environmental impact statement from FERC coming up pretty soon. And as you can imagine, we're going to be engaged on a technical and legal level and working with people to make sure that FERC knows how everybody feels about this.
Well, I appreciate both of you being here today and expressing your feelings on this and where you go from here. We'll have to keep an eye on that when FERC does do their decision and see where Oregon's headed with this natural gas export. We've been talking today with Forrest English, who is with the Rogue River Keeper, program director there, and Bob Barker, you're a landowner on the Rogue River, and both of you opposed to the development of this LNG project, this export project out of Coos Bay. I'd just like to thank both of you for being on the Jefferson Exchange today.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having
us. Thank you. Glad to have the chance to come.
You're welcome. Up next, we'll talk about slowing down and our ever-growing addiction to fast-paced living. That's all ahead on the Jefferson Exchange.